Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time for part 3 of our big J2 season preview for 2023. Seven more teams for us to discuss in detail in this week's episode. I'm John Steele, as ever, and I'm joined by a regular partner in crime, James Taylor. James, how are you doing?
I'm alright, thanks John. The sun's out, so feeling pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Yeah, very sunny here in Yokohama this morning as well, James, but I think we have snow forecast for tomorrow, but I know that I'm talking to someone that lives in Kanazawa where snow is a sort of permanent feature of the landscape at the moment, so I'm not expecting too much sympathy from you on that front. So yeah, enjoy the sunshine while it's there, I guess is the best advice. Okay James, yeah, thanks for getting together with me again. We've already talked about, you know, the majority of the J2 teams that will be taking part in Japan's second tier in 2023. In this third episode we have seven more teams to talk about. We also have some special guest correspondents to help us with some of those teams as well, but more on that later. Let's get straight into it though and talk about, yeah, one of last season's surprise packages to some extent, Fagiano Okayama. Now they ended up finishing third in the league table in 2022, their best ever performance in terms of league placing and points total, but they were 8 points behind second place the Yokohama FC in the end, so they missed out on automatic promotion and ended up in the playoffs. And despite having home advantage in the first round, they were soundly beaten, weren't they, 3-0 by Yamagata. So Okayama had a great season but just seemed to run out of steam and kind of tail off at the end. James, they have the same manager Takashi Kiyama back in the hot seat for 2023, and a frightening amount of transfer business in and out. So what do we make of Okayama for 2023?
Yeah, they look pretty good again, don't they? I mean, they haven't really lost anyone particularly important, I don't think. Mitchell Duke's gone, but they've replaced him with Solomon Sakuragawa. So I think in terms of, you know, offensive production, that's probably going to be good replacement. The main thing is they've kept a lot of their impressive performers from last year. So they've still got Thiago Alves, Ryosuke Kawano, the right back, Yasutaka Yanagi at centre back, Haruka Motoyama. They've signed Daiki Hotta, the goalie, on a permanent deal. He was on loan last year and he was good. Ryo Nagai, the striker's loan, has turned into a permanent deal. They've got Issa Sakamoto from Gamba Osaka on loan. And they've kept Yori Bice as well, centre back and captain and lead Chuntura, and referee Haranga, and forearm smasher. So I think things are looking good for them again this year, but I think they need to sort out their attitude, because towards the end of the year they had that chance, they were third, they had a slim chance of finishing in the top two, and then they lost the last few games and there was a lot of petulance. And then in the playoffs as well, it completely fell apart. When they were losing, they really, really lost it, like a bunch of under 11s. It was really pathetic. And so I think they need to sort that out. And when things are not going their way, and that's going to be up to the senior players like Bice to lead by example, by correct example rather than negative example, which I think he did quite a lot towards the end of last year. But I'm expecting good things from Okayama again this year. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid analysis of the ins and outs, and I agree. If you look at the players going out, they're either loans that are finished, or they're players that were kind of a fringe, or, you know, reserves last season who are going out on loan, or they're all leaving to clubs lower down the league, right, in J3 or lower. I think Mitch Duke is the big out, you know, that you mentioned, and yeah, he's moved to Machida Zelvia, so he's strengthening a sort of potential promotion rival, so that's a big blow. But yeah, to mitigate that, they do have this weird deal of Solomon Sakuragawa, who's coming in from Jeff United on loan. So I'm not sure, again, we discussed this previously, or I think I discussed with Johnny, I'm not sure why Jeff are so keen to strengthen a potential sort of playoff or top six rival. But yeah, Solomon Sakuragawa, he's a good player with lots of potential. I think at this point in time, it is a downgrade on Mitch Duke, but Sakuragawa has the youth, I think, and can improve. You know, we don't quite know where his ceiling is as a player, whereas Mitch Duke's a bit more of an experienced campaigner. So I think there's every chance that Sakuragawa is a success. You mentioned Ryo Nagai coming in on a permanent deal. I don't think he's everybody's favourite player, but he's a useful J2 player for sure, so that's a good sign as well. And they've also raided Yokohama FC a little bit. They've taken Ryo Tabe on loan, who's quite a smooth operator in central midfield, and also Yuya Takagi, who I think just fell out of favour completely at Yokohama last year. He ended up on loan at Gunma, and he's, you know, by trade he's a defender, but he tended to play in a kind of sort of wide left attacking role for Gunma and did okay. So I'm interested to see where he actually fits in and how much game time he gets at Okayama, because he was frozen out completely at Yokohama FC. And there's one player a little bit under the radar, Fumito Hollyhock, Yoshitake Suzuki in central midfield. And I think if Suzuki and Tabe end up playing a lot in central midfield, then I think that could be an interesting axis that freshens things up. But I think you mentioned as well key players that have stayed. I mean, Jordi Bais, obviously, and Thiago Alves, right? One of the top scorers in the league last year. I was sure that he was going to leave. And I was thinking if him and Mitch Duke both left, that's, you know, a lot of goals going out of the team to be replaced. But they managed to keep Thiago Alves. And I think, I know Mitch Duke might be listening, so I hope he doesn't come after me and beat me up. But I think if you had to choose one, you would probably rather keep Thiago Alves, you know, because I think he would be harder to replace. Whereas with Mitch Duke, I think Sakuragawa is a similar type of player, even if he's perhaps not at the same level. So, yeah, my gut feeling is, you know, we're going to hear from Gary Irwin later talking about Kumamoto. Last season for them, Kumamoto felt like it could be like lightning in a bottle, because their squad's kind of been decimated by, you know, transfers out as you know, bigger clubs have picked off the impressive performance. But for Okayama, I do get the feeling that they're kind of regrouping and they're ready to go again in 2023. So I still think I'm not convinced that the squad is strong enough to go top two, but I don't see any reason why another kind of serious playoff challenge wouldn't be on the cards. And I think you mentioned the mentality or lack of in the kind of run-in last season. Mm. I think something to mitigate that, and I don't want to be an Okayama apologist too early in the season, but I think maybe it was just their first time being in that position.
Yeah.
You know, as a club and as a squad. I think if they're I'm interested, and I assume this year they won't feel, you know, if it gets to, you know, 2 months of the season to go and they're in the top six, that will be a familiar position for them, you know, because they've done it once already. So that should, in theory, stand them in good stead, you know, for another kind of playoff push. But I think I would see them in and around the top six, but maybe not quite with enough quality for the top two. Do you go along with that, James? About too optimistic? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think you're right. The experience of last year, of the disappointment in particular, will like you said, will stand them in good stead. I think they'll be able to use that to their advantage this year.
Yeah, really looking forward to seeing how it goes, because they are one of these teams. If you, like me, if you've watched that DAZN documentary about them, the J-League documentary about how basically difficult it was to kind of build that club up without a kind of big, you know, corporate sponsor, you know, the kind of traditional J-League model, you sort of do want to see them, or me personally, I think it's good for the league to see teams like that do well. Although, yeah, we could do without the referee haranguing, as you mentioned. So, yeah, well, yeah, let's see how Okayama get on, James, but let's keep it moving. And, yeah, another really interesting team to talk about next, Tokushima Vortis. Mm. Now, we spent most of last season talking about their incredible drawing streak, right, a drawing record. So, last season, Tokushima ended up finishing eighth. They only lost six times in the 42-game season, which is incredible. But even more amazing, yeah, 23 draws under Danny Poyatos as manager. They also had that fantastic defensive record, right? Only 35 goals conceded, which was the same as the eventual champions Niigata managed. So Poyatos has moved on. Gamba Osaka fans can look forward to, you know, double-digit draws in 2023, perhaps. And the new manager, Bena Labayen, I'm not really sure I've got the pronunciation quite right. Benoit Labayen is in. He's an interesting customer, isn't he, James? He's only 35 years old, Spanish coach, and I think this is his first time as a number one anywhere. He does have quite an impressive CV as a youth coach and as a kind of performance analyst, an opposition kind of scout in Spain. So I know he's worked at, for example, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, and I think he's also been in England. He was the assistant manager at Leeds for a year, 2017 to 2018, and his previous job was the chief analyst at Sociedad in La Liga. So he does have an impressive CV in the back room. We'll wait to see how he does, you know, as the number one. To help him, he has a former Tokushima player, Cicinho, among his backroom staff, and another Spanish coach, Aitor Maiztegui. Again, my pronunciation is probably off, so anyone feel free to correct me on that. But yeah, again, tons of ins and outs for Tokushima. James, of course, the manager is one of those. What are we thinking?
Yeah, well, they had those amazing unbeaten streaks last year, but were also amazing winless streaks. So I think the main thing is that it seems like with replacing Poyatos with a young Spanish manager, it seems like Tokushima are looking for a kind of continuity of perhaps of style. And it seems like they're going to take last year as a platform that Poyatos has built and try to build on that, which I think is the right way to go about it, because it wasn't a complete disaster. They finished eighth, but they couldn't score enough goals. And what's interesting is that they have lost from their forwards. Mushaga Bakenga has gone. He scored only got 4 goals last year, but he's still one of the top scorers. Shota Fujio got 10 goals. He's gone. Kazunari Ichimi got 7 goals. He's gone. But the replacements, I mean, Yoichiro Kakitani from Nagoya, he scored no goals last year. Kaito Mori from Kashiwa, he only got 4. Daiki Watari from Fukuoka, I mean, they're not particularly inspiring. I'm not sure whether they are an upgrade, but perhaps the manager's seen something, or the whoever's in charge of transfers has seen something in those guys and thinks that they can do better than the forwards who pretty much struggled last year. Another interesting one for me is Ryo Toyama, the midfielder, who signed from Matsumoto. He had a pretty good year for them in J3 last year, so I'm interested to see how he gets on there. I don't think they've really lost anyone particularly important from midfield or the defence, and the most important thing, I think, is that they've kept Jose Aurelio Suarez, the goalkeeper, who was absolutely outstanding all year long. Mm. So really, they've got to find a way to win, which Poyatos couldn't really do last year. But I know Stu talked quite a lot about Tokushima when you chatted to him the other month, and particularly about Cicinho. So there were so many interesting aspects to this coming season, and this is another one, I think. But what do you think about Tokushima?
I think that's a great analysis, and it's a very kind of intriguing club, isn't it? Because they have a kind of policy of hiring foreign managers, you know, Spanish managers over the last few seasons. So I think that's something interesting. Benar Labayen, he's coming into a system where they are ready for a Spanish manager. He doesn't have to start from scratch and do everything from the beginning. But I think the intriguing thing for me, like you mentioned, is the strikers, because on the one hand, they've lost 3 target men, right? Bakenga, Fujio and Ichimi. But even with those target men, they couldn't win games and they couldn't score enough goals last year. So perhaps that there's, they're obviously going to try something different perhaps this time. Kakitani, I think, is a Tokushima old boy. Might even be his hometown club. So it's a big, big deal for him to go back there. But I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk that he's going to be successful. Because as you mentioned, the last couple of years, I mean, I can remember him being the next big thing in J-League football, and it just never really happened, I don't think. So he's kind of damaged goods is too strong, but he's not a slam dunk that he's going to be a success and score lots of goals, even though he's dropping down a division into J2. Daiki Watari is probably the big and basic target man in the squad now, isn't he? He's coming from Fukuoka, but again, I think his best years might be behind him now. So I'm not sure how many goals we can expect. And Kanta Chiba is an exciting young striker, isn't he, from Shimizu, who's coming on loan. But, you know, Shimizu are a divisional rival this year. You have to imagine if he was that good and that close to the first team at Shimizu, they wouldn't let him go on loan to Tokushima. So, yeah, I wonder if, and this is just sort of lazy stereotyping, really, but, you know, it's a Spanish coach with 2 Spanish assistant coaches. Do you think maybe they're almost going to play perhaps with almost, you know, no strikers or false 9 type formation? You know, that's the system that the Spanish national team has been famous for, right, with the past sort of decade or more. And Spain generally doesn't produce that many great strikers or, you know, target man type forward. So I wonder if we're going to see a playing style that means maybe, you know, none of these strikers are actually playing up front almost. You know, maybe they're behind somebody else, or it's three kind of quick interchangeable forwards that, you know, rotate and, you know, move around the pitch a lot. We'll have to wait and see. But I think, yeah, you're right. They haven't lost anybody to eyebrow raising. I think obviously they would have liked to have kept Shota Fujio maybe, but he was only on loan from Seret Osaka anyway. And I think most Tokushima supporters will be sad that Ken Iwao has made his loan move to Urawa permanent in the winter break, because he's a difficult player to replace, but he's earned his chance in J1 and has taken it pretty well, I think. Yeah, no, we wait to see. I am very just curious to see how it all goes, because there's a potential for it to go really well and there's the potential for it to go south pretty quickly. So I'm not confident predicting a playoff spot based on what I see in front of me now, but I do think top half with a tilt at the playoffs is is a distinct possibility. So I would say maybe eighth place might be where they finish again this year. I think if you've got Jose Aurelio Suarez in your team, you're never going to be too low down the table in J2. What do you think, James? I'm thinking top 10.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, last year, they're not going to have another year as strange as last year, but the key is whether they can turn those draws into wins or whether those close games go against them. Last year they managed, I think, just enough to put themselves in contention for the playoffs on the final day, which didn't go in their favour. So I think they should be a top half team, perhaps with going for the playoffs, but it's really hard to tell. I mean, last year up until towards the end of the season, we didn't know whether they were going to come good or not because it was just so strange. So, I don't know. That should be our slogan, shouldn't it?
I think it should, yeah. But I think, to be fair, when we're talking about Tokushima, I don't think anyone's going to hold it against us too strongly because nobody who's not even Tokushima supporters will have any idea really at this point. Yeah. But yeah, I think if they're not in the top 10, I'd be surprised, or top half at the end of the season. But yeah, we'll see. I think it might take some time for them to get going because I think, you know, the new coach isn't just a straight continuation from Poyatos. So I think there will be some changes to formation, playing style. And going to be really interesting to see how they line up. For example, Kakitani and Watari, they're not players who are going to be playing 90 minutes for 42 weeks in a row. Mm. So, I'm curious to see what kind of players make up the front line, the forward line on a weekly basis. Yeah, James, we're freestyling now about Tokushima. Yeah. So let's move on. We're going to take a short comfort break now, but we're going to leave you in the capable hands of Victor Arroyo because he has our Zweigen Kanazawa preview for 2023. So if you want to follow Victor on Twitter, it's at jfootballanaly1 A-N-A-L-Y-1 and he's got the lowdown on Kanazawa for us. So Victor, take it away.
Hello, fellow J2 fans. My name is Victor Arroyo and today I will be doing the season preview for Zweigen Kanazawa. So first off, what do I think are going to be the new signings that your team has made and who will be the most important in 2023? Ooh, good question. I would say this is our most ambitious offseason, I think, ever. We brought in a lot of foreign players, a lot of players that I think can contribute. And even though we did lose a lot of players this offseason, I feel like the talent level that we've brought in is something that's really going to help us improve, right? So I think right off the bat, I'll start off with some of the more high-profile foreign signings. Jefferson Baiano, coming straight from Brazil. He is a big striker, played for Monterrey Yamagata, was very good for them in J2 previously, so I hope he can do the same for us. And I've seen a lot of highlights of him. I've never actually seen a full match of his. But from what I can tell, he's extremely tall. He likes to dribble a lot. He's not the fastest guy, but he is really, really big and very good at penalties. And I think that'd be great, just having a guy who we know can consistently deliver in penalties and become a threat during set pieces is always welcome for our team. So yeah, I'm super excited to have him in. Leo Bahia, which is coming. He's coming in from Portugal, even though he's a Brazilian player. He's primarily a left back. Although he can play some left wing back as well. Don't know much about him, but I wonder how it'll work out with Yuto Nagamine kind of being a very good left back for us and our team. And, you know, are they going to split minutes? Who's going to start? I mean, you know, maybe Leo's very good, but, you know, I'm very biased towards Yuto Nagamine, and I think what he gives us on offense and in terms of distribution is just fantastic, and he's been making such a remarkable improvement with his defense that, I hope he maintains and keeps the starting role, but, you know, we'll have to see how things shake up after training camp. And we've also extended Taiga Sun from Sagan Tosu on loan, which I'm very happy about. He's huge, he's very tall, he's a good defender. He had a few hiccups during his first couple of games for Zweigen, but I think he's really improved. He just didn't understand how we defended. A lot of our center backs like to move up, and I think Taiga Sun is used to kind of staying back. So, you know, there are a few times in matches where you could see the other center back yelling at him and being like, hey, come on, we got to come up. So, yeah, I think having that familiarity is really, really going to help him for our defense. So, yeah, I'm super, super happy. And we brought in a young player from, and excuse my pronunciation, Daejeong Hana Citizen from Korea. His name is Park Jun-seo. He's a center back. Not a lot of information about him. I know he's part of their youth team setup, but, you know, I'm just surprised that a team that had pretty much zero foreigners last year until Taiga Sun was brought in on loan halfway through the season, yeah, has made so many big foreign signings. So, yeah, I think it shows sort of the ambition that our club has. The club has recently unveiled a plan for them to move on to J2, and, you know, they're also building a new stadium, so it's nice to see that Zweigen isn't stagnant and is content with being just a lower mid-table J2 team, so that makes me really happy. In terms of some of the other big signings, is I think one of the most important ones is going to be Masaya Kojima from Despakusatsu Gunma. He plays right back, and that's a position of need right now, especially since Riku Matsuda left to Jeff United. A well-deserved move for him. He was a fantastic right back. But another person I really want to point out is Fuga Sakurai from Meiji University. I watched pretty much every Meiji University match this season, and I watched him very, very closely, and, you know, he's a fantastic defender. Very fast, great at loose balls, not necessarily the best awareness, but he has a real nose for getting loose balls and tackling. I think when I see him, his biggest weakness is on the ball. I don't think he faces pressure very well. When he dribbles, he's always constantly looking down, and he tends to lose the ball or kind of kick it away. I think that's something that he's gonna have to work on if he wants to make it at the J2 level. But in terms of speed, energy, and everything, I think, you know, he's going to be very useful, and I think he's going to be a very solid rotation player for us. And if he can improve his on-ball dribbling and be a little bit more comfortable facing multiple opponents in a press, I think he'll do extremely well for the team. Another person that I do want to point out is Junya Kato, also from Gunma. He is a terrific left midfielder. He can score, he can pass. He's not necessarily a high-volume scorer, but he was pretty productive at that position last year for Gunma. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. And one thing I forgot to point out about Kojima is that he played every single J2 game for that team. He is an Iron Man, and I think that's something that we're definitely going to need in our defense, because yeah, the way we play tends to tire out guys usually by the midpoint of the season. So if he's a guy that we can count on consistently to stay there and be there, then you know what, that would be terrific for us. So yeah, moving on to question number two, what do you think about the departures from the team this winter, and which player are you most disappointed by? You know, I'm not necessarily disappointed by anybody's. I would say if I am disappointed, it would be Gaku Inaba being moved on loan to Reimer Omori. He's a big defender. He played for us 2 years ago, but then last year he didn't really get any playing time outside of an Emperor's Cup match. So yeah, I would have liked to see him integrated in the club. I don't exactly understand why it is that he isn't part of it, but you know, our manager Yanagashita, I'm sure he knows better than us. So yeah, I guess we have to trust, and hopefully he gets the time that he needs, and you know, to develop. As for big names that left us, I would say Daisuke Matsumoto going back to Tosu since his loan ended. Shohei Amatsu leaving, that hurts. Shio Niwa going to Blaubitz Akita on loan is it's a strange move. You know, he didn't necessarily live up to what he was supposed to be here. He had a couple of injuries, but yeah, maybe going into Akita will be good for him. But you know, I know he'll be very, very missed. So same thing with Rigito Sugiura, who's going to Miyazaki. A lot of these lone players are going back, so it's part of it. And you know what, Matsumoto going back to Hiroshima, I think that's a very good move for him. Very good J2 level player. I'm not sure how he's going to do at J1. So yeah, we'll sort of have to see you know, how things go for him. And of course, I've mentioned it before, but Riku Matsuda left to Jeff United. I think that's a really good move for him. He's a fantastic right back, great defender, great engine. I think he's so tough to beat one-on-one. You know, he'll tackle you. He plays hard. He's a little dirty. And yeah, that's something that I really, really love. And, you know, going to Jeff, to a bigger club like Jeff, I think that's a terrific move for him. And, you know, while I'm sad that he's gone, I know it's well-deserved, so I can't be that mad. And so, yeah, for the third question, yeah, we have the same manager, Yanagashita, and I think, you know, he's shown growth. I think that's the thing that's very surprising, even though we'll probably still be sticking to the same 4-4-2 formation. I think he's willing to try. I think the board is backing him. There's more ambition, not just from him, but from the organization and the supporters as well. So I think that's a very positive sign. And yeah, I'm happy to have him back, you know, the longest tenured J2 manager. So here's to more, hopefully, from him. And hopefully he can lead us to our best position ever. Which leads us to the next question, which is, where do you think your team will finish this season? Ooh, realistically, I see this team somewhere between 12th and 14th. I think that's realistically where I will fall. But, you know, if I had to hope, if I had to dream, you know, I could realistically see us getting anywhere from 9th to 12th, barring any significant injuries and if our new signings really work out. I think, you know, it could really work. I think we've brought in a lot more talent. We're a lot more serious. I think we've not plugged up all of our holes at defense, but I feel very good about our defense right now. I think we have a little bit more center back depth. I think we have depth at left back. I'm a little worried about, yeah, I guess, like, what we're going to do if one of our starting center backs go down. We'll have to probably rely on some unproven talent, but, you know, that's the name of the game. So hopefully everybody can stay healthy. But yeah, I'm predicting realistically 12th to 14th and hopefully 9th to 12th. If we can get a top half finish, that'd be great. And what am I most looking forward to in J2 overall this season? Well, as most of you already have known from some of the previous pods, next year J2 will be shrunk down to 20, which I think it's good for the players. You know, less games, especially when it gets very hectic if, you know, they have long Emperor's Cups runs. I'm just here to enjoy the last season that we're probably going to have 42 games. And, you know, I think it's sort of a blessing for us as fans to be able to see our team that many times compared to, you know, J1 that has, you know, 34 matches in the league. So, you know, I've always enjoyed the extra games and, you know, I'm going to try to enjoy that as much as possible. And I think this is a year where we're going to see a lot of teams make a big push because there are so many promotion spots that, you know, I expect some of the top half teams to really go all out to try to make it to J1, and leave J2. So I think that's a very, very exciting thing that is going to be great to watch just the best teams in J2 vie for promotion. And yeah, I think the amount of games is great. I think this is the most optimistic I've ever been about a Zweigen team since I've been following them. So I think that's fantastic. And I'm interested to see how some of the other clubs do too. Kumamoto is like a big question mark because, you know, they kind of got raided this offseason. And to see if, you know, they can go back to being one of the best teams in the league is an interesting question that I'm excited to find out and see. And yeah, hopefully just the growth of just some of the young players on Kanazawa Zweigen, if they can continue improving and making their mark. I mean, the bad part about that is, you know, as all of us J2 fans know, once a player gets too good, they get snapped up. So, but you know, hey, I'll be happy if some of our guys end up going to have good careers in J1 or maybe abroad. So here's to that, and here's to another good J2 season. Thanks for listening. That's all for me. And thanks for all your support on the pod. All right, bye.
J-talk, extra time. Well, welcome back, everyone. John and James are here again to continue the big J2 season preview. Thanks for the lowdown on Zweigen Kanazawa, Victor. And before we continue, James, there's one other player on the Kanazawa roster. We can't let Kanazawa go without your comments. So, yeah, what was there was one player you wanted to mention as well?
Well, actually, Victor requested that he got so overexcited when he was recording that he forgot to mention probably what he thinks is the best bit of business for Kanazawa, which was keeping hold of last season's top scorer, Masamichi Hayashi, who apparently there was interest from J1 clubs. I think Sapporo were rumoured to be interested in him, but he stayed. And Victor's very enthusiastic about that. And so am I, actually. I think this year's going to be a good one for Kanazawa. Although I'm optimistic every year, and my optimism is dashed on an annual basis. So let's move on.
Yes, okay. Yeah. over excitement to very real danger in early February, I feel. So yes, let's keep things moving. But thanks again, Victor. Yeah, and looking forward to hearing from you throughout the season as well. James, the next team for us to talk about is Yamaguchi. Who had, for my money, a fairly impressive season, or quietly impressive season, last time out. They ended up finishing 16th with 50 points, a full 13 points clear of the relegation zone. A really, really good debut season for their coach, Yoshihiro Natsuka, who's back again for 2023. They ended up with 13 wins, 11 draws, and 18 defeats from their 42-game campaign. And they haven't brought in too many players in the off-season, although the additions look quite intriguing. A lot of players have left, so that the squad does seem to have been trimmed down a little bit for the new campaign. But James, what do you make of Yamaguchi?
Yeah, I also have the phrase quietly impressive written in my notes. So
Bingo.
You've been copying me or something, I don't know. But yeah, lots of defenders gone from Yamaguchi. But they have also lost Kazuma Takai, who scored some pretty good goals for them, the midfielder Kazuma Takai. And also they've lost our rookie of the year, Takaya Numata. He's gone to Machida, which is a great move for him and well-earned, but disappointing for Yamaguchi. They've also Hirofumi Watanabe, the veteran, retired and has gone straight into a quite high-ranking job at the club, like very, very young but high-ranking position. What's interesting for me is that they've signed two ex-Kanazawa defenders, Keigo Numata from Ryukyu, perhaps not a particularly exciting signing, but he's a reasonable left back. And Daisuke Matsumoto, the centre back who's on loan from Tosu, he did pretty well for Kanazawa. He's still young, still learning, but overall he was pretty good. So I expect him to feature quite regularly and to do well for Yamaguchi. Apart from that, Yusuke Minagawa from Sendai, the striker, I think will be quite a good signing. He'll be good for some goals. And they've still got the veteran Koji Yamase, who's scored in 23 consecutive seasons. So I hope he can make it 24, give inspiration to all of us approaching middle age. And yeah, I just we talked last year about how we were impressed by Yoshihiro Natsuka, the manager. So I'd like to see how he does this year, having had such a large proportion of his squad leave, how he can make progress based on last year's performance. But what are you thinking about Yamaguchi?
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis. They do seem to have let quite a few defenders leave, which looks a bit careless on paper. So we'll see how that goes. I think for Natsuka, I was kind of expecting him to maybe move on, perhaps, and be picked up by another club during the winter. I think if he does well again this season, and we should mention, I suppose, by, you know, a club of Yamaguchi's size and budget, you know, finishing in relative safely in J2, I think that represents a good season for them. So I think probably similar this year, maybe bottom half, but relatively safe. Of course, there's always the potential for them to be sucked into the kind of relegation dogfight. I think you've highlighted the key players that have gone in your analysis, James. Losing Takai and Numata, whilst perhaps inevitable, is going to be hard. You know, he's perhaps the one irreplaceable player. But I don't know, maybe Kazuma Takai also is kind of a really, really, you know, high quality winger or midfielder attacker. He's gone up to J1 with Yokohama FC. Kento Hashimoto, you know, sort of raiding, I can't remember if he's on the left side or the right, but kind of left-sided defender, I think, who's quite impressive, you know, in an attacking sense last year. He's gone to Yokohama FC as well, so they're light in that position. And one of my favourite players from last year, Wataru Tanaka, he's gone back to Sendai from central midfield. His loan from Sendai is finished. So there are some holes to be filled, I think, in that starting 11 for Yamaguchi this year. I think in terms of the players coming in, four midfielders who are all of a kind of similar style, like quite quick and inventive players. So that's Toshiya Tanaka from Gunma, Shinya Yajima from Omiya, Yuan Matsuhashi, who's come in from Tokyo Verde on loan, but has been on loan at Sagamihara last season, and I think maybe even for a portion of the season before. I'm not sure if he's ever going to get a chance at Tokyo Verde at this point, but he's a good player, I think. And at Seigo Kobayashi from Oita is in as well. So I think that there's so many kind of experienced or like first choice midfielders from other clubs that come in. I think we're going to see a new look midfield for Yamaguchi here. And if Kensuke Sato is still pulling the strings as kind of the Boranchi, like the deep line midfielder this year, there could be some interesting attacks built up with these nippy exciting midfielders they've got. Yusuke Minagawa is kind of the big and basic option up front, isn't he? But I'm not sure how well he's going to mesh with those kind of quick midfielders that I mentioned earlier. So I think there could be some, Minagawa might be the plan B off the bench, I'm thinking. You know, because I'm not sure how well he's going to mesh in with these, the kind of attacking midfielders that have come in over the winter. But I think Minagawa, to be honest, is probably a slightly better footballer than we're giving him credit for here. I think he can join in and link up the play as well. And I remember him being furious when, who was it? Was it Felipe Cardozo didn't pass him the ball? In one of the Sendai games, Philip Cardoso actually scored, but Minagawa was furious that he hadn't passed him. So that's the kind of team spirit that Yamaguchi are going to need to stay up again this year. But I think Natsuka has a... I think the squad is certainly smaller than last season. It remains to be seen if it's weaker, but I think he's proved that he knows how to coach a team to, you know, comfortable lower mid-table safety in J2. So I think it'll be similar this year, but with the potential to possibly get sucked into that relegation battle if they can't replace the goals from Numata and Takai that they've lost. What are you thinking, James? I know as a Kanazawa supporter, you always have one eye on the lower half of the table. So what do you think Yamaguchi are going to do this year?
I expect them to be, like you said, sort of bottom third, but I don't think they'll really be in any danger of relegation. And I think it'd be like last year, they were pretty steady in 18th for most of the year. And I think the same this year. I don't think they'll struggle too much, but I don't think they'll quite push on into, you know, mid-table comfort, shall we say. So I expect that it'll be, perhaps there'll be some difficult times, but nothing too terrible.
No, that sounds fair enough to me. I think we're in broad agreement on Yamaguchi. Then, okay, James, talking of pushing on, let's talk about one more team for now. That's Oita Trinita. Now, they had a season that was more impressive than I expected overall last year. In 2022, they ended up finishing fifth with a record of 17 wins, 15 draws, and only 10 losses. That gave them a total of 66 points and got them into the postseason playoffs. But they ended up drawing 2-2 with Kumamoto in the first round, and with the Japanese kind of J-League playoff system, that meant they were out at the first round stage. So they're back in J2 again for 2023. And their transfer business, in terms of numbers, is quite similar to Yamaguchi's, isn't it? They have more players leaving than coming in, but they have the same manager in the hot seat, Takehiro Shimotaira, for another kind of a promotion challenge. James, what are we thinking about Oita?
Yeah, last year, throughout most of the year, we were not very impressed by them. But in hindsight, I think actually it was a good year making the playoffs with the difficult early schedule, which they won't have to worry about this year. They haven't got the Levan Cup, so I think that will definitely benefit them. But they have lost quite a few of their prominent players. One of their Shun goalies, Shun Yoshida, has gone to Urawa. Who else has got? Eduardo Neto has been released, and Hokuto Shimoda gone to Machida. Hiroto Goya and Mu Kanazaki, the strikers, have gone to Jeff. And Kanazaki he's not found a club yet. Presumably he's in a strop about that somewhere, because he's always in a strop about something somewhere. But in terms of people coming in, the goalie signings are interesting. They signed Yoshiaki Arai from Akita. He couldn't really, Martin talked about it in previous episode, he couldn't really knock Yudai Tanaka out of the first team. But when he did play, he looked pretty good for Akita. But they've also signed, how's it pronounced? Teixeira,
I think.
Yeah, Brazilian. goalie, who I assume is going to come in to start ahead of Shun Takagi, the other Shun goalie. But maybe he'll have to wait a few weeks for his chance. I don't know. Not so many ins. A lot of outs, but not so many ins. But the ones that took my eye, they've signed Tomoya Ando, the defender from Imabari. And in midfield, they've signed Ren Ikeda from Yuku, who I'm not sure if he's a good player or not. But that might be because he was playing in a poor Yuku side. So, yeah, how he's going to get on. They've got a lot of midfielders to replace, so he's got a big job to do. They've also signed Taira Shige from Akita. They haven't signed any strikers. So they lost Goya Kanazaki and Yuya Takazawa as well. They haven't signed any strikers. So I'm wondering who's going to get the goals. I mean, Samuel, he's pretty good, but I don't know if he's going to score that many. Shin Nagasawa, I think it was their top scorer last year, but didn't actually start that many games. And as we have heard quite a lot from Sam on Big Pod, not actually that good, Nagasawa. So I think they're going to depend on Naoki Nomura in midfield for a lot of creativity again, and some goals probably. And they've got to be looking for playoffs at least and promotion. But I think goals are going to be a concern for them. What about you?
Yeah, well, I want to start by talking about the manager, Shimo Taira. I'm still not sure if he's a good manager or not. And I'm starting to think that we'll never know because I know he's managed at Kashiwa, he's managed at Yokohama FC, and now he's at Oita. And he's kind of had ups and downs at each one, which are kind of is the sort of, I guess that's the life of all managers. But I'm still not sure how good a manager he is. What I will say is if he can get this squad to finish fifth again with all the kind of first team regulars that have gone, I will nail my colours to the mast of him being a good manager. Because I think this squad looks weaker than last season. Two or three years ago, there were a lot of rumours around about Oita's finances. Mm-hmm. And that they were struggling for money. And I think that those kind of rumours did go away. So I think they're financially okay. But it's clear looking at the squad that there hasn't been much money spent during the winter window. And, you know, some kind of more of the high earning players. You mentioned Mu Kanazaki, for example, have been moved out. Eduardo Neto been moved out. But they have lost a lot of players that were regulars last year, like Yuta Koide, centre back. Well, not only has he left, but he's gone to Sendai. You'd imagine to be a playoff rival. Yuto Misao, he's moved up to J1 at Kyoto. Kenta Inoue, who was the breakout kind of right wing menace for Oita, yeah. Especially in the second half of the season, he's earned a move to Yokohama Marinos in J1. Asahi Masayama's gone to Nagasaki. Another player potentially strengthening a rival. Hokuto Shimoda's gone to Machida, another player potentially strengthening a rival. And you mentioned the strikers. Goya has gone to Jeff. Kanazaki's released. Takazawa has gone to Machida, strengthening a rival. So it's very hard for me to predict them finishing higher than fifth with what looks like an inferior squad. I'd be surprised if they can make it into the playoffs this season, I think. The goalkeeper position is also interesting because you mentioned they brought in Arai from Akita and Teixeira from a club in Brazil. Shun Yoshida has gone to Urawa, you mentioned. There are also some rumours circulating that the other Shun, Takagi, would be going to Yokohama Marinos since they've lost Takaoka to Vancouver? He's gone to the US. Yeah, but I think this morning we just got the confirmation that Yokohama Marinos have gone a bit mad and they've signed Hiroki Ikura from Kobe instead. So whether that means Shun Takagi is safe and we'll be Oita for this season. We'll wait to see. But I'm expecting maybe goalkeeper situation is going to be interesting. Brazilian centre-back Pereira has made his loan move permanent in defence. I think that's a good move, although he is prone to the odd clanger. Yeah. So I'm not sure how solid that makes them. Well, I do like him as a player, but he's not perfect, obviously. And I mean, when it comes to midfielders, you can't help but be underwhelmed, can you? I mean, Taira Shige is coming in from Akita. Again, he's a good player, but Martin said in the previous, not that sorry to see him go. Ren Ikeda, very, very good John Pertwee lookalike, in my view. But again, the jury's out on him as to how good a player he actually is. And, you know, bringing in, I'm not out to offend anybody here, but if it was my team and we were like, okay, we're going to go for the playoffs again, we've got rid of eight midfielders and we've replaced them with a midfielder from a relegated team and a midfielder who Akita fans are not crazy about, you can't help but see that as being underwhelming. Yeah, but I was super negative about Oita this time last year and they ended up finishing fifth. So, I've been made to look silly by them already in recent times. But I'd be amazed if that squad can get to the playoffs. So I think if they can get into the top 10, Shimotaira has done a good job there, I think. What do you reckon, James?
Yeah, you've made quite a convincing case there, actually. And I think in thinking about it a bit more, it doesn't look particularly inspiring, does it? And we're gonna find out whether Shimotaira really is a talented coach or not, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. He's got that kind of Ralf Hasenhüttl is probably the Premier League equivalent, mm-hmm. where nobody could work out if he was a good manager or not, because Southampton would do well and then periodically lose like 8 or 9 nil.
That was an annual tradition.
Now that Southampton have brought in Nathan Jones, I think there's a lot of revisionism about Ralf Hasenhüttl. It turns out he's actually a pretty good manager compared to old Nathan. But let's stay on topic, James, as much as we can. I think we can take another quick pause so we can bitch about Nathan Jones for a few minutes in private. And then, the listeners are going to hear two back-to-back, reports from correspondents in the field. So first of all, Daniel Kuroda, that's at Nagasapo_EN on Twitter. He's got the lowdown on FIFA in Nagasaki for us for 2023. And then after a quick musical sting, we also have our man in Kumamoto, Gary Irwin. Pleasingly simple, it's at Gary Irwin on Twitter. He's got the Kumamoto lowdown for us. So please listen to their thoughts on Nagasaki and Kumamoto. And then James and I are going to be back because we are going to talk about any other business that we have on the docket for the pod. So here comes Daniel with the Nagasaki preview.
Hi everyone, this is Daniel from Nagasaki Blue and Orange, and today I'm back on Extra Time just to share a few thoughts on Vifara Nagasaki for this upcoming season. So first, let's take a look at the new signings the club made during the winter. And yeah, they did a lot of business actually, and most emphasis was on central defense and on the offensive midfield and the wingers. So last season on defense, it felt like Vifara were lacking physicality and generally just struggle to defend high balls. So I think with Waldo from Shimizu and Yuta Imazu from Hiroshima and Jun Okano from Machida, this was addressed quite well, and I think it will be improved in that department. And we should also see more of Kaike Mafaldo, who arrived midway through last season along with Haruki Shirai. And also we still have Kazuki Kushibiki. And so overall, I think it looks like quite a solid unit now. And yeah, so I'm quite hopeful that there really will be some improvement compared to last season. And the club also signed a goalkeeper, Go Hatano. He is 198 centimeters tall, and he came in from FC Tokyo on loan. And yeah, I don't know if he's going to start, but he seems like also to be quite a good character. So, and goalkeeper play really was a problem last year. So I hope that this is also going to improve. And on offensive midfield and on the wings, first of all, we actually have Claesson, who was one of our better players in the second half of last season. We are going to have him from the start of the season. And in addition to that, also signed Ten Miyagi from Kawasaki and Asahi Masuyama from Oita. And we also got Takumi Nagura back from his loan at Sendai. And we still have Takashi Sawada and Cristiano. So I have to say that this looks quite like a really strong offensive unit to me right now. And I'm really excited about this, actually. I don't even know who I would start. I guess Claesson is the one who is always going to start because he is the manager's guy, basically. But apart from that, we have quite a lot of options now, which is nice to see. And most likely the biggest signing of all, though, was Juanma Delgado, who I know is quite difficult to like when he's not on your team. But he has returned to Nagasaki after 4 seasons, and his experience will just be so valuable to the club. And he has already achieved promotion to J1 twice, and just him returning created so much excitement among the supporters as well. And surely this was related to the return of Takuya Takagi to the club. who is now who joined the club as a director now. And I think it must be the same with Takumi Nagura, because I also thought that he was going to leave, actually. I didn't think he was going to return from his loan. As for the departures, I was overall quite pleased, because guys like Hiroshi Futami, Ryohei Yamazaki, Takashi Kasahara, and of course, most notably, Victor Ibabo finally left. And I was just so happy to see the back of him. I think he was there now for 3.5 years, and it was just too long. And yeah, Koya Okuda is off to Kanazawa on loan. I just hope for him that it's a better fit than Vifaren, because he is a good player, but I think he just didn't fit too well into the system. And the one departure that really stung to me was a central defender, Yusei Egawa, who is off to Gamba. He is from Nagasaki, and he has been at the club since under 18 level. And personally, I was hoping to get another season from him and one day see him play for Vifaren in J1. But I can understand why he made the move now. I mean, if Gamba comes knocking at the door, you probably are going to open it. And yeah, another guy who has left is Asahi Uenaka, who is off to Yokohama F. Marinos. He's a striker who has had his moments in the last couple of seasons, but to be honest, I was a bit surprised about this, and I wonder how much he's actually going to play, because I think he is still quite raw. And so, to be honest, I was more focused on keeping Edgar Jr. Like, this was the more important one to me in that regard, because he is so much more crucial to the short-term success, I would say. And yes, and I have to say, I was just happy that Hijiri Kato stayed, because to be honest, he was the one of the young players at the club who I thought was going to be leaving this winter. So it's definitely nice that we were able to keep him. As for the manager, Fabio Carrier, he arrived last year in July, and it was obviously a tough second half of the season for the club. With poor results, COVID, cluster of COVID infections and all that stuff. And I was personally happy that they kept him around, because I said from the beginning that this was not a signing they made, or I was hoping that this was not a signing they made for just a half season, because he was quite a high profile signing for a J2 club, given the clubs he worked for previously and the success he had to. So I really wanted him to get the time to implement his philosophy and get the players he needs and have a full preseason. And so in addition to Fabio, I think also, again, it's important to have Takuya Takagi back at the club as a director, because he is now, like, how do you say, like, he's a real football mind, and the club is very ambitious, and yeah, but sometimes I feel like they maybe don't have so much understanding of the football side of things. At least that's how it felt to me sometimes with decisions that were made in the last few years. So yeah, I'm glad that Fabio stayed, and even happier about Takagi coming back. And so where do I think the team will finish this season? My heart always says they are going to get promoted. So yeah, in my J-Pred, they will be in first place as usual. But as far as my head goes, I cannot really make any prediction right now. I'm just like, I want to see them play some decent football again, because last season was so awful to watch. Like, Vifaren usually have one of the better squads in J2, and there's no excuse for the type of performances they put on last season. So I hope they will put on some good performances and yeah, have a better start to the season than the last 2 years. And then I will just see where it goes from there. The club, as usual, is talking about promotion the whole time, but yeah, this is just, I don't know, it's just so difficult in J2 to achieve promotion. And there will be maybe even more clubs than usual who will be going for the promotion places this year. So, yeah, let's see where it goes. And finally, what am I most looking forward to in J2 overall this year? This might be the most boring answer you are going to get to this question, but it's just having J2 back now, because I was so annoyed and so, I don't know, so bored by football this winter because of the World Cup. Just that European football was paused because of the World Cup annoyed me so much. Then I didn't watch a single minute of the World Cup. And when European football came back, I kind of had lost a bit of interest or motivation. And with the J League, and especially J2, is always different. I'm so looking forward to have J2 back. And yeah, I can't wait for it to start. And for Wiefaden specifically, I think it's, it is quite a big season because it is the last season they are going to play at Transcosmos Stadium, because they are supposed to move into the new stadium in Nagasaki City in 2024. So, yeah, that's it from me for now. And I hope to be back on the pod sometime. And if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at nagasapo_en. And I'm on Instagram at nagasaki_blueandorange. So take care, everyone, and enjoy the season. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Gary Irwin. You can find me on Twitter at Gary Irwin. That's GarryIrwin. And I follow Roasso Kumamoto, currently of J2. So I go to all their home games and, if I can manage, some away games too. Question one, new signings. So, like a lot of clubs, Roasso have brought in a raft of new players. The last time I saw a squad picture, I think it had 9 new players that have come in from other either J League teams or regional leagues. And there was also, I think it was 6 players from university teams. So they're all very young, only 21 or 22. I think the oldest player we brought in was Yuki Omoto. He's 28. He came in from Ryukyu. And last season, despite being 28, he's not exactly a veteran. I think last season he played most of games for Ryukyu, and that was basically the first season he's done that. Really, I know he's had, I think he did break his ankle a few years back, but he hasn't really had a solid start consistently. But let's see, he's a right back, and we have some right backs. Maybe he'll be played centre back, but more on that later, because we have had a big changes. So many new signings, so many ingoings and outgoings, but a lot of them who've come in have worked with Oki before, either at Gifu and places like that. The most important signing, I'm going to go with Daichi Ishikawa. He comes in from Tottori, and last season he scored 15 goals in J3, and I think he worked with Oki in Gifu previous to that. So he's coming in, and he's got to fill in for a lot of goals from players who have left. A signing that's not new, he played 10 or 11 games last season. Rei Hirakawa is 22. He came from FC Tokyo, but he's been made captain. So he might also be very important for the season ahead. 2, departures. So lots of players have left. We had such a good season last season, it was going to be tough to hold on to all of them. I did hope we might hold on to one or two, or at least one, but they've basically all left. Takahashi's gone to Urawa Reds, So Kawahara went to Sagan Tosu, Sugiyama went to Gamba Osaka, and even Sakamoto went to Yokohama. Now, they're all going to J1 clubs, so you can't begrudge them that they've all moved up when we missed out on the J1 spot. So they've all left. Most disappointed, I guess, was Masahiro Sugita. Yeah, he was centre-back, and he just went to Sendai in J2. So our centre-back pairing, he was with Iroha Henry most of the season last year, and Henry went back on his loan and has gone to a different club. So we've had to basically rebuild our back line. So that was a strange one. Sendai aren't pulling up any trees, I don't think, this season, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. 3, thoughts on the manager. Our manager, Takeshi Oki, if he stays there for the full season, it'll be his longest stint at any club. His previous to that was was with Kyoto Sanga. And Oki basically got us the width of a post from getting into J1. And when he took over, we were languishing in J3, not sure what we were doing. And he kind of whipped them into shape. And every year he's had a turnover of players. And we're hoping he can do his magic again this year. So yeah, in Oki we trust. Whatever he wants, just let him do it, I think. So we're very happy with our manager. 4, where will Roasso finish? With so many new signings, you'd hope we can finish similar to where we were last season. But my head says that there's too many changes. It's going to be tough. And the last season we were coming off the high of winning J3, and that momentum kept us going. I'm not sure if the knockback of losing the playoff final might get to us this year and we start slowly. But maybe we've so many new players, maybe it won't affect them. And they'll just slot into the way Oki plays football, and we'll be okay. My head says we'll be upper mid table. My heart wants us to get back in the playoffs or even an automatic shot, but I really don't know until I see the teams play a few games. It's still a month out from the season. We could sign more players. You never know. Looking forward to J2. Question 5. Yeah, J2 is always exciting. You never know at the start of the season. You can go through the predictors that we make every February and March and then look back at them and you're like, what? How did I get those so wrong? Not many people had Roasso last season getting into the playoffs. The two teams that came down, Espoirs and Iwata, I don't see them being like automatic favourites to go back up. I don't think they have brilliant sides. And there are a lot of sides similar to them in J2 already. A few sleeping giants, as it were. So I don't think they're guaranteed to go straight back up. A lot of teams will be in the mix, I hope. And hopefully there won't be any teams languished down the bottom. So it'll be a very interesting season. What I'm most looking forward to, I guess with Roasso, is just we have such a young side. It's always exciting to see a young side go out and play football. We have lots of young players. Who could I mention? Going from pre-season and watching training, we have a 17-year-old. What's his name? Michi Waki, he's 17, he's big, he can score goals. He's one to look for in the future. So come back to this pod at the end of the season and tell me. He's been on our subs bench a few times. I think he might get on this year. So that's one to look forward to. Other than that, the spine of our team has stayed. We still have Sato in goals, Kuroki at the back, Shunito are there. So they're the old fogies of the team, if you will. And hopefully they'll be able to bring along some of the younger players and we can make another fist of the season. But it should be exciting and I'm looking forward to it. And good luck to everyone, whatever team you support.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks to Daniel Kuroda at Nagasapo _EN for the Nagasaki comments and to Gary Owen, our man in Kumamoto, at Gary Owen on Twitter. Yeah, really looking forward to see how both of those sides do in J2 in 2023. James, we're back again. I think we made it through all 22 teams over 3 episodes of the preview with help from our friends in the field. So well done, fantastic stuff. Before we depart for these season previews, though, James, our aim is to satisfy the listeners as fully as possible. And as requested by listener Brian on Twitter, he wanted some J2 slogan related content.
Oh, excellent.
So just as a quick kind of primer for anyone who's not sure, J League teams traditionally at the start of every season they unveil a slogan for the year. Usually that is in English, which is, you know, varying degrees of correctness in terms of grammar and sometimes spelling as well. So yesterday, James, I had some free time. I just kind of perused the J2 team's websites. And I'm missing a few here. I think some teams don't have slogans anymore, or they're a bit ashamed or shy about them and they hide them away somewhere on the website. So I've kind of gone for my roundup is basically just the ones that I could find, kind of the homepage, the top page of club websites, over the 20 minutes of free time that I had. So quite a few clubs seem to have used the same kind of agency for their slogans this year, because Tokyo Verde have got Unite as One, underscored with Time to Go. Where they are going is not specified, which
that's
is a bit troubling.
That's a hashtag you use when you want the manager to lose his job, isn't
time
it?
To go. Well, Stoke fans sing a song which is Time to Go, and it ends with F off. So yeah, I'm not sure if that's what they were going for.
Lewis, I love that.
And Omiya, perhaps copying Tokyo Verde's homework. They've got Unite One. Sekai no Sekie, which basically means like, you know, straight to the world or going global. Good luck with that. Yes, and what else have we got here? Kofu, similarly, Unite for the next. Next what is not specified.
Yeah, next what?
Next manager. I don't know. Jeff Chiba, they seem to have Win by All, but I've got a question mark here because they've had that for a few years. Yeah. That was one of the slogans that they had when they were good. And it really struck a chord with fans, and fans often chant that at games, usually before kickoff. Can't think why. It's a Win by All seems to be what Jeff are going for. Iwaki also, they have a general club slogan, which is Walk to the Dream. I don't know if they have a 2023 specific slogan. I couldn't find one. I only had Walk to the Dream there. Gunma, special mention, they've gone for Beyond Thespa. I don't know whether that's alluding to the fact that they were planning to change the team name at some point. Or maybe this, like, there's perhaps next year will be that there's more to life than Thespa, maybe is that that's what they could go for. And I will give Gunma a special mention because their online shop is called Thespanic. It's a pretty good description of what happens every time the ball goes into their penalty area. So
large stretches of their season.
Yeah, and I'm not making, these are all real. I'm not even making any. What I should have done, thinking about it, is I should have made some up and sprinkled them in and got you to guess.
Well, you haven't mentioned the slogan champions of the last couple of years, which is Shimizu.
I'm saving the best ones. The best ones. Yes. Well, you're right. You've called my bluff, James. Shimizu have gone for strong will. When you consider that a couple of years ago they had penetrate, I think they missed a trick. I would have gone for strong willy. I think that could have been.
Easy to graffiti, isn't it?
And I think Yamaguchi perhaps have been talking to some of my students. They've gone for keep on challenging.
Yeah.
What they are challenging is not is left to the reader's imagination. And I think my personal favourite, and I'll ask you for your favourite in a moment, James. But the best one for me is a Sendai, who after crawl up last year. Have thought outside the box, and they've come up with Grav, G-R-A-V, which upon closer research is a portmanteau of Grab the Victory. Okay, so it's the G-R-A from Grab and the V for Victory. So we've got Grav. Hopefully Donald Trump doesn't see that, because I suppose he might end up with Grap for his presidential re-election campaign. But yeah, James, any particular favourites? There might be some good ones that we missed. Of course, listeners can write in or send in any that we haven't covered. But what do you think of Grav, Strong Will, Beyond Thespa? Any favourites?
Beyond Thespa is quite funny. I like Iwaki's Walk to the Dream, just because, I mean, they don't seem like they're walking to anything. They're making quite quick progress as a club. Yeah, Grav, you could change that to Grave when something goes badly wrong, like the second half of Sendai's year last year.
That's very pleasing.
Yeah. I'm still, a little bit disappointed with Shimizu's after. I mean, last year I really liked as well. That kind of, here goes. Yeah, and Jeff, a few years ago, had that Bone in Chiba City, didn't they?
Bone in Chiba City. Yeah, when it's an imperative, it's always a good slogan, I think.
Yeah.
It's like an instruction. It's like a command.
So, yeah, keep on challenging as well is quite challenging. I mean, if it were any other, well, if it were certain other clubs, I mean, I'm challenging the patience of their supporters, but I don't think Yamaguchi should do that too much.
Well, yeah, Yokohama FC for a couple of years had record the blue, but it was never clear whether it was record, as in a verb, or record, like a noun, record the blue. Yeah. And the blue what wasn't, also was left unexplained. So, yeah, I've said it many times. If I become J League chairman, these mysterious slogans will be compulsory. Yeah, perhaps I would even give myself first refusal to make sure they're as crazy as possible. But yeah, I've noticed that more and more teams are just not doing it now. I think perhaps they've got wind of the fact that they often get it wrong and it's funny. But I think it's part of the J League's charm. Yeah, charm. That's right. So any good ones?
Also,
oh, go ahead.
Also, Shimizu found with them when they chose Penetrate that all the merchandise sold out really, really quickly. The cynical side of me would say, like, go for it and do something stupid that's going to get you mocked, but also earn you a lot of money for your club.
Yeah, you see, just Strong Willy could have gone for Strong Willy, and then there'd be so much money for new players. You see, so yeah, no, we've solved the J League financial problems in one quick segment to the point, James. Fantastic. Okay, all right, James. Serious business before I let you get back to work. This is our last preview pod before the big J2 kickoff, so let's do a quick preview of the first round of J2 matches. So they're split across Saturday and Sunday. That's February the 18th and the 19th. So on Saturday, February the 18th, the big kickoff, is at 1 p.m. or 1:05, as it says here. Kofu hosting Yamagata. And then there are six more games on Saturday, but they're all at 2 p.m. So we have Iwaki against Fujieda, a battle of newly promoted teams. Gunma against Akita. Let's hope everybody's new neck brace has arrived in time for that game. And it's Shimizu against Mito. Okay, so newly relegated Shimizu host Mito. And another newly relegated team, Iwata, they're at home to Okayama. It's a big match early on. It's also Yamaguchi against Omiya in the Orange Derby. And Nagasaki against Jeff Chiba. And then in the Sunday matches, February the 19th, three games at 2 p.m. It's Tokyo Verdy against Kanazawa. Machida against Sendai, that feels like a big game already somehow, and Tokushima hosting Oita, two of the teams that we covered in this episode. And then rounding off the weekend, for round one it's at 4 p.m. on Sunday, Tochigi hosting Kumamoto. James, I had a hard time picking out sort of games to watch here because it's the first round, so we kind of don't really know where the narrative is going to be, but what do you think? Any games that you're excited about?
I'm interested in Iwaki against Fujieda. I think they both came up from J3, so a chance for one of them to lay down a marker or make an impression. Obviously, it's only the first round, so it's too early for us to be able to draw any conclusions. Although after round one, we are going to try and draw loads of conclusions. Machida Sendai, like you mentioned, I think those. I'm really interested in how Machida do. Their winter business has been really interesting. So I think it's quite an exciting season for them. And Sendai, of course, have got to get past the disappointment of that massive collapse last year. We want to see whether Akira Ito really is the right manager for them. Tokushima Oita as well, two teams that in theory should be looking for the playoffs. And we'll get a chance to look at Tokushima's new management team. Apart from that, obviously, I'm interested in Tokyo Verdy against Kanazawa. Yeah, I'm just excited that football's coming back. What about you?
Yeah, it's funny because I had a look at these fixtures for round one a couple of days ago and nothing really leapt out at me. But then when I had another look this morning, I don't know whether I had my coffee today or, it's early in the morning, so I'm more awake. But yeah, I thought there were quite a few intriguing games. I think, like you mentioned, Iwaki Fujieda is pretty big. And it'll be really interesting to see how Fujieda do, especially. I think we are sort of, expecting them to be quite low down the table. Mm. And Iwaki, we admitted we had no idea. So it's interesting to see how they get started. I also think I joked about Gunma versus Akita, but I do think, as usual, I have a feeling that those two sides are going to be lower down the table in the final standing. So how they start could be critical, could be important. Mm. So I'm interested in that game as well. Iwata Okayama, we've talked up Okayama at the start of this episode, but Iwata, we know they had their transfer ban and they're going to take some time to get used to life in J2. I think that could be interesting, but I think if I had to pick one, I would probably go for Machida Sendai. you know, the 2 p.m. game on Sunday. That's because I think Machida are really going for it this year. I think they're aiming for a top two finish and automatic promotion. I think Sendai should be aiming for that as well. But like you said, I think the memory of last season's collapse will probably be still quite raw for them. And obviously Akira Ito, well, we know he did it in J2 with Kofu, but he didn't do particularly well with the Sendai team that he inherited at the tail end of last season. So I think there are some question marks about him that he'll need to answer quite early in the season. So I think if I had to pick one from Saturday, I can't really choose between Iwaki Fujieda, Gunma Akita. I think that's at the wrong end of the table, the sharp end. Whereas I think looking further up the standings, I think Machida Sendai on Sunday is the one to go for. But of course, yeah, I know Kanazawa supporters and Verdy fans like Lewis are going to have a close eye on Ajinomoto, right? Verdy against Kanazawa. Mm-hmm. Okay, James, hopefully we will be back together in two weeks, maybe less than 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and we can review these games and see how wrong we were about some of these teams in our previews. But I think we can leave it there for the big season preview, if that's all right. But before we go, finally, The goal is, and I'm recording this before the Super Cup match has actually been played, but I'm going to drop in a quick review from the weekend Super Cup match, because Kofu are our J2 representatives in that match this season, aren't they? So Kofu are taking on Yokohama Marinos at Kokuritsu Kyogijo on Saturday, February the 11th. And I think I'm going along. So at this point, James, we'll say goodbye for now. But you'll hear me again in a moment, just rounding up the Super Cup game from Saturday the 11th. So, thanks for listening. And, please enjoy my hopefully quite brief Super Cup roundup coming up next. J-Talk Extra Time. Welcome back, everyone. John Steele here again, just to round up the result and the key talking points from the Super Cup match from last weekend. In the end, Yokohama Marinos emerged victorious against Kofu, winning 2-1. But there was a great start from Kofu. Over the first 10 minutes, they had possession high up the pitch. They had some corner kicks, and they did force one really good save from Obi in the Marinos goal. But as you'd expect from last season's J1 champions, Marinos settled and then kind of hit the front on the half-hour mark. A slick passing move led to Anderson Lopez. He played the ball across the penalty area for a compatriot Elbert to side foot in from about 8 yards. So Marinos 1-0 up after about 30 minutes. But Kofu went in level at half time after some VAR drama on the stroke of half time. Eduardo Mancha, Brazilian defender, strode out of defence with the ball, played a through pass to Yoshiki Torikai, and he cut back for Peter Utaka, who else really, to score and make it 1-1. The referee initially gave offside, and there was an interminable VAR delay as the VAR team checked this. I think this was probably the best advert for J2 football on the day, that there's no VAR delays in the second tier. But eventually, for some reason, it took about 5 minutes, but the correct decision was reached. The goal was awarded, and at halftime, it was Marinos 1, Kofu 1. In the second half, though, to be honest, Marinos really dominated possession and monopolised the ball. It was difficult for Kofu to get on the ball and make chances in the second period. And the vital goal came around the 61st minute. Ryotaro Tsunoda kind of copied Eduardo Mancha's kind of striding out of defence in possession from the first half. He played a through ball to Anderson Lopez. Now, he put in a shot that was brilliantly tipped against the post by Kohei Kawata's foot. So a really, really good save. But unfortunately, the ball hit the post, came back out, and Takuma Nishimura was on hand to just kind of convert a chance and put the ball into the empty net for 2-1. We should add, I think there was some controversy as well right at the end, because substitute forward Getulio did kind of fire in a second equaliser for Kofu, but after a very quick and I might add suspiciously quick VAR check, that goal was chalked off. I think initially offside was given. If you watch the replay, I don't think Getulio is offside, but apparently there was a foul in the build-up by a Kofu player. It looks a bit dodgy to me. I think, Marinos were worthy winners in the end anyway, and they won the game 2-1. So congratulations to them. For Kofu, although they lost on the day, I think there were a lot of positives. They played quite well, especially that kind of early stretch in the first half. So, plenty to look forward to for their J2 and Asian Champions League campaigns, I think. And just finally, as a bonus, there were better fortunes for some J2 sides against J1 opponents in other preseason friendlies last weekend on a Sunday, February 12th. In the Chibigin Cup match at Kashua, Jeff United beat their prefectural rivals Kashua Racehall 3-2. And if you enjoy horrible defending, I strongly urge you to check out the highlights of this game. Masato Sasaki, Kashua goalkeeper, real horror show from him, unfortunately. He was at fault for the opening two Jeff goals, pretty much presenting chances to Hiro Komori and their ex-Kashua striker Hiroto Goya. So it was 2-0 to Jeff inside the first 30 minutes after some goalkeeping calamities from Sasaki. Kashima did manage to get back to 2-2, though, on a goal and an assist from Kota Yamada. Of course, his move from Monterio Yamagata to Kashua for this year. So it was 2-2 going into the final stages. But yes, some more pretty ordinary defending, let's say, allowed Goya to kind of steal in and sneak the winner. So it finished Kashua 2, Jeff United 3. Kind of performance that will give Jeff a lot of confidence for the J2 season. If you're a Kashua supporter, I can only say I hope that these, you know, that they've probably got their three worst defensive moments out of the way before the J1 season's even started. So yeah, hopefully Nelsinho's calmed down now. I don't think he was very happy at the end of the game. But 3-2 to Jeff United, the final score. There was also joy for Mito in their kind of traditional, annual preseason game against their prefectural neighbours, Kashima Antlers. Mito beat the Antlers 2-0 at Kei's Denki Stadium. That was thanks to a goal in each half from Hidetoshi Takeda in the first half, and then at Koichi Murata in the second. So, I think Kashima had a lot of chances, a lot of possession in that game, as you'd expect, but Mito got the job done and got the win. That will be a really big boost for their new coach, Yoshimi Hamasaki, because I know there's a lot of, certainly from the JTET side, there's a few question marks about his appointment going into the new season. So a good win for him. So, I think that's all the preseason action from last weekend rounded up. So, Marinos winning 2-1 against Kofu in the Super Cup. Jeff exploiting some defensive lapses to win 3-2 at Kashua. And Mito winning 2-0 in their match at home to Kashima Antlers. So, I think that's all from me for now. And that's all for JTET until the big kickoff at the weekend. So, I hope you'll stay tuned and stick with us for the season ahead as we cover J2 and J3 as best we can in as much detail as possible. Thanks for listening and downloading the pod. I hope you've enjoyed our J2 season preview pods, and the J3 season preview pods have started as well with Magic Mike Innes, and they'll be continuing over the next couple of weeks. But that's all for me for now. Hope you enjoy the season coming up, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.